Blog Talk Radio.
Right through Erie House. Welcome to Erie House Radio. And I'm your number one windbag, Dale Kay from Spook Show, here along with
Full of Gas Dave Binkley from the Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And
don't worry about the gas, it'll pass safe.
I hope so. Feeling a little bloated here. But yeah, you know, you gotta be careful. If we're lucky. You might get another visit of a story from Ugg the Caveman once again tonight. Yeah, hopefully, it'll be there at the midpoint of the show. So,
yes, indeedy. And some great, great radio with some big stars tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got we got Vincent Price once again with The Saint. Yes.
Yes.
Cary Grant last night. And tonight we got Vincent Price.
Yep. And we return to the Hall of Fantasy, that interesting show from the 60s with Stone's Revenge. So, count them, two great tales tonight.
Yes, one horror, one kind of a scary but comedy. I mean, because The Saint is as much almost about mirth and comic as it is about mystery and scary. But yeah, a fun little story. The ghost who came to dinner.
Yeah, well, you can count on Vincent Price to bring a little glee.
Well, and I tell you what, you've heard a few of these, Dale. My favorite ones are the ones that feature Vincent and Louis, the cab driver. Well, this is one that features the two of them throughout the whole show, pretty much. I just love the interaction between those two are just phenomenal.
Yep, and we'll get to enjoy that in just a few minutes. Thank you for joining us live in the chat. We've got Serpent Society 9 and, of course, Fogsbane.
Hey, Fogs! And, yeah, this is, luckily we didn't get all the snow that they were predicting. I saw the flurries floating around, and I dusted a little bit off my car this morning, but that was all we had. I don't know about the Fogs over there in more of a New York way. I hear along the East Coast, some places got it pretty good, but their storm was a snowstorm in May.
Yep. Perfect. But, and we've got a special message for you, Fogsbane.
Show starts in 3 minutes.
There you go. Love that fog. Love that fog.
But yes, we're having a good time on Erie House. I pointed out to Dale before we went on tonight is that as of last night, we have now hit the 75 full shows we've aired this year, along with 36 clips. But we've also surpassed over 650 complete shows since we started on Erie House Radio. Thank you guys for being here and letting us share these wonderful shows. And we've been able to share over 650 of them already since we started.
Here's the sixth thing. Here's the sixth thing. We just scratched the surface.
Yes.
There's a ton of this stuff. And so many more things we have planned for you. More drive-ins and maybe some specialty shows, too.
Right. We've got some Poe coming up and drive-ins and all kinds of really fun and spooky and science fiction, all kinds of things coming up in the future. But tonight is a dark and stormy night here at the Erie House. Here at Erie House.
That's just exactly how Snoopy used to start every one of his novels.
Every one of his novels. It was a dark and stormy night. Yes.
A dark and stormy night.
And if Snoopy does it, how can you go wrong?
No. Probably the smartest dog in all of dogdom.
Probably. Probably. A lot smarter than Clifford the dog.
Yeah.
Daisy the dog really never had much to say. I'm trying to think.
Lassie was pretty sharp. Lassie was sharp.
So Lassie was pretty sharp, yeah. Because people, some people can understand Lassie speak, you know. He'll go, burp, burp,
yeah.
burp, 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 burp. And
that
he
means
said, what?
In the well.
He fell down
yeah.
the well? Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it means. Every time.
My kids need to stay away from the wells, darn it.
Yeah. And the Rin Tin Tin. Yep, another smart dog.
Yes, yeah. Good old Rin Tin Tin and Rusty, yes.
But they, unlike some of us, had the sense to come in out of the rain. And we don't have any sense, so we're going to present stories about storms and rough weather.
A bit of a spooky one in the Saint, and definitely a spooky one in the Hall of Fantasy. I don't know of a single Hall of Fantasy because they were all serious tales of the supernatural. And that's one reason I really get a kick out of those. And again, I'd never heard of that until about the mid-1970s when our local PBS station, that was one of the things they picked up was the Hall of Fantasy and aired those. And this right here, WKSU in Kent, Ohio. And they did had several of the lineup, the Avenger, and the Great Gildersleeve. Those and the Hall of Fantasy are the ones I tend to remember the most. But that's also where I learned of Tom Lear on that public radio station. Believe it or not.
Yeah, PBS has always been a great resource of all kinds of cool stuff. I learned much about silent movies from PBS when they had a series of silent movies week after week after week and got to experience some of the classics that way. But you are about to experience a great story with Vincent Price.
Which didn't work well in the silent movies because on the radio, it doesn't leave you much but organ music, which is cool,
yeah.
but you know.
Yeah, no. Who knows? Maybe we'll have silent movies in the drive-in someday.
Yeah, well, you know, we had worked out that possibility that we can, at some point, bring a variation of silent movies to the radio. Yes.
Yes. But on to tonight's tale, The Ghosts Who Came to Dinner.
Ah, wonderful episode of The Saint with the one and only Vincent Price. Yeah, I've mentioned this before. I'm still going to say it again. I've heard Tom Conway fill in the role with the exact same scripts that they would write for Vincent. And it just wasn't the same. Vincent Price, you could tell when he is giving these scripts, sometimes he would have like a, you could tell he had to be smiling. There was like a smile in his voice when he would give some of these punchlines and stuff because, you know, it was so different than anything else he was doing on radio or in the movies. You know, that it was just, to him, it had to be such a fun moment in time to be doing these Saints episodes.
Yeah, if he wasn't enjoying it, he sure was faking it well because, as you mentioned, Dave, and anytime an entertainer is enjoying what they're doing, it shows. And you'll hear in this great episode called The Ghosts Who Came to Dinner from...
From April 8th of 1951.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as the Saint.
Hey, Mr. Templer.
Yes, Louis?
Starting to rain.
So it is.
You couldn't get a dinner back in town. You had to travel all the way out here in the country to eat?
Louis, I was invited to a dinner party, and Long Island is hardly the country.
It's full of trees, ain't it?
True. This does happen to be a rather lonely spot, but...
The rain is getting heavier, too. I should have stood in Brooklyn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Louis.
What is a cabbie from Brooklyn doing out here in the middle of nature?
He seems to be driving a cab. Hey, Louis.
Yeah?
Is it possible that the roof of your cab leaks?
It's possible.
It's leaking.
On you?
On me.
Well, after all, Mr. Temple, according to the chemistry books, we're composed of 98% water anyways.
Perhaps. I find the percentage high enough without any additions, however.
There's no extra charge. We've got... Hey, Mr. Temple, the motor. It stopped.
Yeah, so I noticed. Discouragement?
No, it's possible the hood leaks, too.
Oh, that's nice.
No, don't blame the motor. After all, it ain't composed 98% water.
It shortly will be. While we sit here and calmly contract pneumonia.
Who's calm? Look, Mr. Temple, you know something? This could be the beginning of, like, a real horror story. It's the nighttime where two guys stuck out here in the wilderness.
Long Island.
The rain is raining, the thunder is thundering, and I'm scared. You know what ought to happen next? If this was a horror story... That's what ought to happen next.
It did. Oh, sound came from the left through those trees.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I see lights.
It must be a house. Doesn't seem very far away.
But that's where the dog yelled from, huh?
Yes, except that judging from the sound, the dog was outside. That's strange. Why would a dog be out in this downpour?
Maybe he read a book on chemistry. Or maybe he's just leading the dog's life. That was a joke, I think.
Yeah. And I may laugh later. At this moment, there's someone running down the road.
Yeah, from the direction of the house. Look, he's heading for us.
I hope you don't mind, but can you give me a lift back to Glenville?
Oh, we'd be glad to, except that we're stuck here ourselves. However, you can join us inside. It's slightly less damp.
Thanks. But I won't stay long. I don't care for a neighborhood.
Yeah, how did you get here?
I'm a cab driver.
Well, where's your cab?
Back there.
That house?
Yeah. The Hawthorne place.
Well, why didn't you take your cab when you left?
Because I was in a hurry. Because there was things closer to the cab than I was.
What kind of things?
Listen, young man. Nobody lives in the Hawthorne house. Nobody's lived there for over 100 years. So tonight, back in town, I picked up a fare, and where does he want to go? The Hawthorne house. I'm an old fool, so I take him there. He gets out at the house, tells me to wait, goes inside. I walk around to stretch my legs. Then I notice the house is all lit up. I think that's mighty queer. But I figure maybe somebody new bought the place.
Well, perhaps someone did.
No, because I go around to the side, and I look into the house through the big front window, and I see who's in the house. It ain't anybody new.
Well, who was it?
It was the folks who used to live in that house 100 years ago.
Huh?
And what was worse, they were sitting around a table... eating dinner.
Oh, I see. You say they were the people who lived there 100 years ago. Well, how could you know that?
Because of the way they was dressed. Because of the way they looked. Mister, I've lived in Glenville all my life. And there's pictures of the Hawthorns going way back in the Glenville Town Hall.
Well, perhaps the people you saw were descendants of the original Hawthorne.
Sure, except nobody dresses that way anymore. Except that one of them was bleeding onto the tablecloth with his throat cut open, and another was putting food into his mouth, only he didn't have a face around that mouth.
Look, you're positive you didn't imagine...
All right, I imagined it. I'm crazy. Think whatever you like. But me, I'm getting out of here. So long.
Hey. Let's us get out of here, too, Louis.
Oh, that's swell with me. Are we going to walk to Glenville?
No, I'd like to take a look at that house.
Why?
Oh, we may still be in time for dinner.
But, Mr. Templer, I ain't hungry. And besides, that guy might still maybe be bleeding.
I doubt it.
You do, huh? Why?
You're forgetting we're 98% water, aren't you?
Oh, that answer's supposed to cheer me up.
It's the dog I'm worrying about, Louie.
Why?
Well, out here, a dog would be kept for companionship, protection. Therefore, why was that dog put out in the rain?
I'd just as soon forget the dog. Ooh, somebody is busy not paying attention to me. Oh, hey, that's the house, huh?
Yeah, obviously. Colonial architecture, large, rather pretty. Huh. Brilliantly lit.
With colonial electricity?
Candles, Louie. Huh? You can see them through that large window. Chandeliers ablaze with candles.
I can't see anything else except the ceiling. Well, that must be the dining room.
Yeah, probably.
Mr. Templer, is all this real?
It seems to be. Hey, bell pull on the door, huh?
Mm. Ooh, the dog don't like a ring in the bell. Look, Mr. Templer, look. An elephant with teeth.
Yeah, it's a large dog. It's drenched.
Look out for your hand. You could easily swallow it. Ooh, look, now he's heading for me. Mr. Templer, did I have to come all the way out here to feed a dog?
Oh, don't be silly, Louie. He likes you. He's looking up at you.
Yeah, trying to decide which part to start on.
Louie, there's positively a light in his eyes. For all you know, you may be his ideal.
Yeah, sure, his ideal dog food. Oh, get down. Mr. Templer, leave us go inside, huh?
No one answered the bell. I wonder. Yeah, it's open.
Hey, look, the pooch. He's leaving.
That's strange. He sounds terrified. But of what?
I didn't say a thing.
Hallway seems empty. Let's go in.
Ooh. Kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Not even a chain clanking, not even a creaking.
Hey, Louie, there.
What?
There's a door down the hallway. It's probably the dining room.
I ain't hungry.
The house is old, dusty, unused. But there is a light.
Yeah, maybe they forgot to turn the gas off when they all died or something.
It's the dining room.
I ought to run out and buy some oil for the door.
Large table in the center, chairs all around. White linen and polished silver on the table.
Yeah, plus dishes with food.
Yeah. And food that's warm, Louie.
Look, Mr. Templer, I don't like this. A house in which nobody's lived for 100 years, miles from anywheres, all lit up with candles in the middle of the night. A table with fresh cooked food on it, and there's no one, no one at all at the table.
Unless we can't see them, Louie.
Well, found a lot of cobwebs, Mr. Templin, a lot of empty rooms, but nothing living.
No, may as well head back to the dining room.
Don't let your appetite tempt you. Probably by now all the food has vanished. Yeah, like dishes rattling?
Yeah, come on.
Maybe the guests all came back.
They were in the house. It would mean they'd all have to rush out into the rain, but why?
They were thirsty, maybe, I don't know.
What? The door's ajar. Shh, shh, shh. Perhaps we can look in without being seen.
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't believe it. A butler. An old guy dressed in clothes that belong in a museum. Look at, he's got knee pants on with lace cuffs.
And at that table, where there's no one seated, he's serving dinner.
Maybe he's just practicing.
For what?
I heard of ghost writers. Maybe he's a ghost butler.
Suppose we go in and find out, huh?
Yeah.
Good evening.
Be still, if you please, be still.
He's afraid we might disturb the guests.
He's gathering some of the dishes. Going to the swinging door. Probably leads to the pantry.
Look, he's waving on us. Should we wave back?
No, he wants us to join him. Come along.
Uh-huh. Serving pantry.
I beg your pardon.
Indeed you should.
But you are...
Horton. Horton's the name, of course. But the footman must have told you that.
The footman?
Caleb. He let you in, didn't he? Shouldn't have directed you to the dining room, of course. But then he's getting old. You'd better go to your quarters at once, there behind the main staircase. Glad you came along. We need you. Caleb isn't the man he used to be. But then he's been with the Hawthorns for so many years. I remember when he entered service.
You do?
It was the year old Boney got his toes toasted at Moscow.
Old Boney.
Can't stand around gossiping all evening. Guests might notice. Get to your quarters, man. I've work to do.
Hey. Look, he ducked out.
Yeah. The door's locked. Probably a spring latch, which means we may as well go back to the dining room. Hmm?
Look, you know, something's wrong with this whole thing. Mr. Templer, who is Old Boney?
Huh? Oh, that happens to be the nickname the English had for Napoleon, Louis.
Oh, fine. So Horton says he remembers the year Old Boney got his toes toasted at Moscow. Look, my brother-in-law, Joey, you know, happens to be a very educated man.
College man?
No, graduated from the United States Army. He's now a mechanical-type engineer. Look, anyway, once he told me Napoleon was in Moscow in 1812.
Yes, your brother-in-law was correct.
But, Mr. Temple, that would make this guy Horton over 150 years old.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid it would.
A guy over 150 years old is dead. So what's Horton doing walking around, huh?
Well, he may have been too busy to lie down and die.
That does not put a twinkle in my eye. Look, Mr. Temple, I want to go home.
Louis, there's a pattern here of some kind. A pattern for horror. And if that pattern is to mean anything, I... Hey, Louis.
Huh?
That closet there.
Yeah, it's a closet, yeah.
Yeah, suppose we open it.
Look, I don't like to mention this, but in all old families, you know what they keep in closets? They keep skeleton in closets.
Mm.
Temple, it fell down.
Yeah. No skeleton, however.
That I can see for myself.
Fortunate thing, on the whole.
Why, what's fortunate about it?
Well, with a skeleton, you could never tell whether or not its throat had been cut.
His throat has been cut?
Yeah, thoroughly.
Let's go take a trip someplace. Let's...
Louis.
What?
Haven't you realized something else?
I don't think I want to.
This man here is dressed just as we are, not in the costume of a dead age.
Well, it didn't help him any. Oh, you found something?
Yeah. Long brown hairs clinging to his clothes and... various papers. Yeah. In life, Louis, his name was Charles Gray. He was a lawyer.
Oh, the Bar Association ain't gonna like this.
There's something else.
What?
He was carrying this document, Louis.
Yeah, what is it?
A copy of the last will of one Samuel Hawthorne.
Hawthorne? Him we didn't meet yet.
No. No, lots of closets we haven't opened yet, either.
Yeah, we're not going to, if I can help it. Well, what does the will say? And you better read fast, because all them candles, you know, are beginning to give up.
I, Samuel Hawthorne, being sound of mind and body, do hereby make this my last will and testament. It is my desire that all my heirs in time to come, in order to inherit my vast fortunes, must at least once a year open Hawthorne House and there give a ceremonial dinner to the neighboring gentry.
In costume?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
At this dinner, everyone present must wear clothing of my type.
Uh-huh, yeah.
My heirs must be of high moral repute and avoid divorces. Obviously, the dead man here, Mr. Charles Gray, was the lawyer in charge of the estate and presumably came here to make sure the terms of the will were met.
Okay, so now we know the ghosts weren't really ghosts. Yeah, but what? We haven't seen any of them.
It's true. Nor any neighboring gentry. However, that stipulation was probably waived.
Yeah, look, Mr. Templer, you know, we better maybe get the police.
Yeah, there aren't any phones around here, Louis.
Couldn't we walk to Glendale?
No, Louis, I think we're here for the night.
Oh, fine. Fits right in with that pattern for horror you mentioned. Oh, all I personally need right now is for someone to scream good and loud. And...
Ha, good to end with a scream. Here.
That's how a lot of my dates ended. I don't know why that's so good.
Yeah. Some of mine started that way, but...
Yep.
I couldn't help myself. I had to scream.
Well, see, if you had a blind date, you wouldn't hear all that screaming.
Yes.
Yes.
True. Very true.
So we got a bit of a spooky tale going on for the saint tonight.
Yeah, a lot of them are very lighthearted, and of course he'll remain himself, his character. But this one, yeah, a little darker than average.
Yeah, actually five different people portrayed the saint. First started off, and actually on three networks. The only network it wasn't on was ABC. It started off on NBC, and was with Edgar Berrier, and it was basically from January 6th until March 31st, and then it was done. Then it came back in June to be a summer replacement for the Jack Carson show. Huh. Now, it was said that if the Hooper ratings were good enough, then it would actually be they'd take off the Carson show and put the Saint in its place, and that's when Edgar Berrier was the Saint, and it was sponsored by Bromo Seltzer at that point. Then it moved to CBS, where that was the Jack Carson show replacement. 13 weeks, and then it was out. Then it came back again in July of 47 with the limited CBS West Coast Network run. It ended on 48 with the Lever Brothers. Then after a year, it was then on Mutual starting July 10th, and it was basically sustained by the network. Bankrolling eventually came from the Ford Motor Company. Actually lasted until May of 1950. And that also on their running is Tom Conway, whose actually brother George Sanders actually played the Saint in several of the movies. And, of course, finished with Barry Sullivan as that, except for the one time when Tom Conway was too drunk to go on. And Lawrence Hopkins, who was Louis the Cabbie, played the Saint that one night. But Tom Conway was a little indisposed at that particular time.
Shades of Goulardi.
Yep, so there we go.
Although Goulardi was always in shape to work.
He was. He was just spent all of the break time and movie time over at the bar next door.
Yes.
With the TV on watching the show. Oh, my. What a character. What a character.
Yeah, boy. There'll never be another.
Never.
Yeah, there'll never be another Vincent Price. I just love hearing his voice. He's suited for radio.
He was suited for whatever he wanted to do, you know. The great
true.
Things that we saw him do in television, the great movies we've seen, and the great radio that he did. He's just fabulous at anything he did. He wrote books. He was a chef, and he was a heart expert. And it was just whatever he really wanted to do, he threw himself into, and he was just great at it.
And he was. And he was Egghead. That's right, Linda Lou. You tell him. He was Egghead on Batman.
He was Egghead. I wonder if that's what he wanted to do, or whether, you know, sometimes people appeared on there. The only reason Burgess Meredith appeared on there is because his grandkids wanted to see him on there, I think. This is kind of what the story I heard goes. So I don't know whether he really wanted to do that, or it probably, you know, it kind of was the thing to do. Like when Frasier was on, the people who were calling in were actual stars. And that just was the thing to do, that you really wanted to do a cameo, at least as a phone call, on an episode of Frasier.
That's cool. Yep.
Yeah, we got the dark and stormy night and the ghosts around the dinner table and the screaming woman. What more can you ask for in a story, Dale? Like I said, it sounds like both my dates.
Yes. Again, in my case, the screaming came before the date.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
And then I had to get rid of the van. But let's return to part two of The Saint, the ghost who came from dinner, after this message.
Ladies and gentlemen, poison doesn't always come in bottles, and it isn't always marked with the skull and crossbones of danger. Poison can take the form of words and phrases and acts, the venom of racial and religious hatred. Here in the United States, perhaps more than ever before, we must learn to recognize the poison of prejudice and to discover the antidote to its dangerous effects. Evidences of racial and religious hatred in our country place a potent weapon in the hands of our enemies, providing them with the ammunition of criticism. Moreover, group hatred menaces the entire fabric of democratic life. As for the antidote, you can fight prejudice, first by recognizing it for what it is, and second by actively accepting or rejecting people on their individual worth, and by speaking up against prejudice and for understanding. Remember, freedom and prejudice can't exist side by side. If you choose freedom, fight prejudice.
Mr. Templer, this makes the second time we've searched the house and found nothing.
That was a woman screaming, Louie.
Maybe it was a ghost.
Ghosts aren't supposed to scream. They clank chains.
Yeah, maybe this here ghost didn't know that. What, back to the dining room?
Yeah, I suppose. Only room in the house with light.
Is that good? Maybe the corpse took a walk. No. Still here.
Yeah, and still dead.
Ah, fellas. You having fun?
Dressed up like Napoleon, too. Look, he ain't walking very straight.
I hate to seem inquisitive, but, Mr. Gray, this talks in a bad way, isn't it?
It's not especially normal. I'm Simon Templer. And you?
James Hawthorne, sir. Besides housebreaking, your occupation is what? You're the saint, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, isn't the slitting of larynxes rather an odd occupation for the saint?
Well, it would be if I had cut Mr. Gray's throat. However, you're Samuel Hawthorne's heir?
Yeah, the current one, yes. You've been snooping.
But there was a clause in the will about divorce.
You've been overdoing that snooping.
You're married, Mr. Hawthorne?
Sorry. It would have helped supply a motive, I suppose, but I'm not, nor have I ever been, fortunate or unfortunate enough to be married.
A woman screamed a few moments ago. Who was she?
I didn't hear.
But you couldn't have failed to if you were in the house.
But I wasn't.
But you must have been. It's been raining out. Your clothes are dry and spotless.
Well, to be honest, I wasn't in the house, and yet I was. You searched the house, I presume?
Yes.
You overlooked the cellar.
I didn't find one.
It's a tricky place to get to. The entrance is behind the chimney in the parlor. It's something to do with colonial politics, perhaps. At any rate, I was down there.
You're fond of cellars?
Well, when they're equipped with bottles and bottles and bottles of Napoleon brandy, yes. Now, if you don't mind, I'll sit down. I have another few hours to remain in costume and here in order to comply with the terms of the will. I'm sleepy. I shall,
That's polite.
It's more probably brandy.
So what do we do? Sit here and listen to him snore?
Napoleon keeps cropping up all the time.
Yeah.
Louis, suppose we go downstairs and have a look at his bottles.
Ooh, some staircase down to the cellar.
Yeah, it's very narrow. My shoulders keep rubbing against the wall.
And a dirty wall, too. Hey, look, the cellar's all lit up.
Oh.
Candles on barrels. Hey, lots of barrels, not to mention kegs and casks and everything.
Hands up!
Yeah, casks and bonds and...
I said hands up.
With 42 caliber revolvers. 42?
You didn't expect me to be armed, did you?
I'm afraid we didn't expect you at all, Miss...
Naturally, you would say that. But this isn't going to work out the way you thought.
I'm afraid I haven't had any thoughts recently.
Look, Mr. Temple, she's running up the stairs.
Yes. Hey. She bolted the door behind her.
Oh, Mr. Templer, that was a very solid type of door leading to the cellar. And the cellar is about 6 miles underneath the ground, and we're locked in.
Oh, don't worry, Louis. We'll be released in time.
In time for what? A funeral?
That girl was beautiful, Louis.
She's on the other side of a locked door, so what good is it doing you, huh?
I can worry.
Oh, this is an occupation for a grown man. Worry about what?
The part she's playing in this entire mess.
Mr. Templer!
Yeah, those were shots.
Did they answer your question?
Hardly. We don't know who shot at whom.
The girl had a revolver.
Yeah, so she had.
Still locked?
Yeah, still locked. Don't bother, Louis. No one will answer.
Oh.
May as well go down again and make ourselves comfortable.
Yeah. For how long? 20 years?
Oh, don't be silly, Louis.
You got an optimistic thought?
We'd never last 20 years down here.
You know something, Mr. Templer?
Hmm?
I'm beginning to feel aged in the wood.
You better restrain yourself.
Hmm.
We've only been down here half an hour, perhaps.
Hey, the Marines have landed. Yeah.
Let's get another bottle.
Definitely an amphibious operation.
Good for the Mr. Templer. Tripling, huh?
Well, not exactly.
Ah, very naughty of you. Don't mind admitting that's why I'm here myself. Need another bottle of brandy. Don't know what happened to the one upstairs. It's all empty. Must have evaporated, huh?
Oh, perhaps those shots frightened it out of the bottle.
Oh, you had them, too, huh?
Yeah.
I had them myself, you know. Matter of fact, I'm violating no confidence when I tell you those shots were fired at me.
Whoever shot at you couldn't have had very good aim.
Fortunately for me, no. Carla, dear cousin Carla, happens to be, and I permit myself to be vulgar, a lousy marksman. Or should I say markswoman?
Carla being blonde and beautiful.
Oh, you've married her. She's next in line to Samuel Hawthorne's pretty little fortune, you know. If I should happen to be disqualified or dead.
Well, you have your bottle. Suppose we go upstairs, hmm?
An idea. Mm-hmm. About the staircase. Plaster walls. Comes off from one's shoulders, huh? Can't rub it off, either. Yeah, back in the parlor. Mr. Temple, you have a reputation for these things. Who cut Mr. Gray's throat?
A murderer.
Oh, very pretty, Whitson. But why?
It was Mr. Gray's task to see to it that the provisions of the will were observed. His death, therefore, must have had something to do with that. You're a bachelor?
Indeed I am.
Was he?
No. A pretty little wife. Oh, she'll be desolate. As a matter of fact, merely thinking about her grief makes me desolate. Therefore, clutching this bottle, and I hope you won't think me too terribly selfish, I shall toddle off to Betty by a dusty bed, perhaps, but it's almost morning. Hey, good night, gentlemen.
Him, I am very glad to see go. But how about us?
Now we go for the police, Louis, if your cab will start. However, Carla...
Oh, let's not look for her, huh, Mr. Temple? A girl with all those calibers don't appeal to me.
Oh, you're being narrow-minded, Louis. After all those shots, how many calibers can she have left?
It's wet out, it's cold, it's dark, but do I mind? No. Out here, at least, no ghosts. No corpses, neither.
Louis.
What?
Look.
Oh, the other cab.
Let's have a look, Louis.
Sure. I didn't like that. Should I take a look, too?
You might as well.
Okay. I'll take... Wow. It's the frightened cab driver, Mr. Temple.
Yes, except that nothing will frighten him anymore.
Mr. Temple, this here's not a healthy neighborhood for throats. His has been cut, too.
Yes, same technique as used on Gray. Louis, we've got to get back to the house.
You don't like our throats the way they are?
Come along, Louis. No time to go to Glenville.
There's lots of time.
In which a murderer may kill again.
Oh, let's change a few subjects, huh?
Very well. Yeah, I've got three questions, Louis. Why did the cab driver, whose body we've just seen, lie to us? Why did Carla think she was in danger from us? And can a bachelor be divorced?
The answer to the last one, I know he can't.
Right. Yeah. Therefore, we know who the murderer is, don't we?
Hey, that dog.
And we know about him, too, don't we?
What do we know about him?
You remember I mentioned the long brown hairs clinging to Gray's clothes?
Yeah.
Well, those hairs must have come from the dog we saw. The dog, therefore, belonged to Gray.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mr. Templer, down the hall in that alcove?
Yeah, if I move quickly.
No! Let go of me!
Hello, Carla. Going to run away?
No, but I won't let go of the gun.
Yes, you will. It's much too heavy for you.
Ow!
Now, just come along with us.
All right. If you don't try anything.
I won't, except for catching a killer.
A killer? But what...
We want the dining room.
Well, everybody back so soon?
Nearly everyone, Mr. Hawthorne.
Oh, I'm glad you've got Carla's gun, Mr. Templer. She might not miss me again.
We don't know that it was she who shot at you, do we, Carla?
Why?
It would be easy to discover if this gun has been fired recently.
Well, maybe I did shoot at him, but I...
There's something else that should come first. Charles Gray was murdered in this house earlier tonight. Why? Both you, Mr. Hawthorne, and Carla covered a fortune. That's why you're both here.
Yeah, Mr. Temple.
Louis, all Mr. Hawthorne had to do was spend the night here in appropriate costume and also refrain from appearing in a divorce case. A bachelor can appear in a divorce case, can't he, Mr. Hawthorne?
You found the papers for the divorce suit on Gray. Maybe me as correspondent, eh? He was always so touchy about his wife.
I didn't find them. Doesn't matter, however. I knew they or something like them had to exist. On the other hand, if Horton, the ghost butler we found serving dinner earlier this evening, is really insane...
You're trying to pin the murder on him?
He left the house in time to have committed it.
Yeah, there's usually a motive, you know.
Mr. Hawthorne, which murder are you talking about?
Gray's murder, naturally.
No, because Horton wouldn't have had to leave the house to kill him. Gray was murdered in this room. But you accepted my statement about having to leave the house to murder. We're both talking about the cab driver's murder, aren't we?
What cab driver?
The one who brought Gray here, the one who saw Gray murdered, the one who fled and then thought things over and decided to return for a little exercise in blackmail.
Mr. Temple, you said he lied to us, but what about?
You remember, Louis, he told us he'd looked into the dining room through the front window and had seen the ghost at dinner?
Huh?
You also remember, however, that when we got to the house...
Yeah, we looked in the front window, too.
Yes.
Yeah, and all we could see through it was the chandeliers and the ceiling. I said so myself.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. The cabbie lied.
And died for it.
Look, I haven't been outside the house all evening.
You must have been. You claimed you were in the cellar when we first met.
Yes.
And that's why you didn't hear Carla scream. But the cellar stairway is narrow. It's impossible to avoid getting plaster on your shoulders. Plaster that can't be rubbed off. And yet when we first met, I remarked that your clothes were spotless.
They should have been wet.
Nonsense. You'd had time to change from your ordinary clothes. You didn't think of rubbing plaster on the costume, however. Too bad. You might then have applied to the scarlet of murder a coat of whitewash.
I was hiding in the cellar because James had threatened me. You see, I knew Mr. Gray was going to sue his wife for a divorce and name James.
And if he did, you would inherit all the Hawthorne money.
Yes. I was terrified that he would kill me.
I see. Tell me about Horton, Carla.
Poor Horton has been hired every year for the occasion. He's very, very old. Now tell me about you, Simon.
Well,
Mr. Templer, I don't mean to interrupt you and Miss Carla, but it's...
Louis,
yeah?
You don't have the ghost of a chance.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here is our star.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
This script of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. In the cast, you heard Adrian Martin as Carla and Edmund MacDonald as James. Tudor Owen was the butler. Fred Shields, the cab driver. Louis is played by Larry Dodkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. Whether it's comedy, music, or drama you're after, you'll find it on the big show today. And today also means a one-hour adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's exciting novel, This Side of Paradise, presented by Theatre Guild on the Air and starring Richard Widmark and Nina Foch. April is Cancer Control Month. Guard your family against cancer by joining the 1951 Cancer Crusade. Mail your generous contribution to cancer, care of your local post office. Hear the cast of Green Pastures today on NBC.
Green Pastures is the place for me. When spreading out so far and wide. I think it's a different green. Different green pastures.
Different green pastures, yes.
Acres and acres. Yeah, of them.
Interesting story out of the Saint. And whatever we learn from there, sometimes we can learn something even a little bit more from there, I do believe.
We hope. Thanks, Blog Talk. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
his apologies to Gar. If it comes down to dinner with a ghost or a dinner at Taco Bell, flip a coin. One is about as dangerous as the other. There you go.
We got a
full room here, Dale. We've got to be a perfect time after you address everybody to share another tale of Ugg the Inventor.
Do we have an intro for Ugg the Inventor?
I don't know. Do we know? I just thought you'd intro all the people in our chat room.
Okay, let's do that. Let's say hello to everyone who stopped by to chat with us live. CW, Fogsbane, Linda Lou, Miss X, and Serpent Society 9. Thank you for joining us live tonight.
Here we are, if I pull this down correctly here, just lately transcribed.
There's your intro.
There we go, thank you. The invention of the umbrella. It was a dark and stormy night, and one thing that we know about Ugg the Caveman is that even though we know many things about Ugg the Caveman, is that he did not like to get wet. You see, Ugg thought that he was allergic to water, when actually he was allergic to what he thought was soap. You see, soap was originally invented as a practical joke. Someone would make a bar of soap, and whenever Big Lazy Jur, the caveman, would come around, they would pretend to eat the soap. Now, being big and lazy, Jur would see them about to eat the soap and would snatch the bar out of them and eat it in 6 bites. He would burp bubbles for the next 3 days. Since no one knew soap could be used to clean, Ugg would use strawberries and rub his body down to clean himself while taking a waterfall shower. When he dried off, the berries would give him a whole body rash. Since Ugg detected that the sweet-smelling berries couldn't be the cause of his rash, it must be the water he was allergic to. So, on this dark and stormy night, Ugg found himself needing to use the outhouse, which was rock number 7, since outhouses hadn't been invented yet. Anyway, he didn't want to get a rash on his way to rock number 7. Now, to keep himself dry, he fashioned a circle out of reeds that Ugg had saved from the swamp and connected them until he formed a circle. But to cover the reeds with to protect him from the water coming down from the skies. At first he thought about saran wrap, but since that hadn't been invented yet, he didn't have time at the moment to invent it. He had to figure out something else to cover the circular reeds with. He finally decided to weave the leaves of a regalis into and around the weeds until he had created a completely waterproof cover. Now, holding the reed covering over his head, he could now dash through the stormy night to Rock 7 with no problem. But about halfway to Rock 7, he felt himself being lifted into the air. Now, at first, I thought that he had invented the first glider, but soon realized that a giant pterodactyl who had spotted the moving leaf and decided he needed that for his nest back at Pterodactyl Mountain, which was about 59 million years before Ugg's time. And 59 million years is a long time to fly by pterodactyl. Now, Ugg refusing to let go of his umbrella was last seen flying over the big rock Candy Mountain. Yes, it was a real place at one point. Yelling, Rock 7! Rock 7! Rock 7! Many eons later, Mary Poppins would use her umbrella to fly to and from places, but not once did Walt Disney ever give credit to or pay any royalties to our intrepid inventor, Ugg the Caveman. There you have it.
Great stuff, Dave.
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
Wasn't he?
The things cavemen had to deal with.
I'm telling you, when you had nothing to start with, everything you did was an invention, you know?
Yeah.
Everything.
It was a first time for everything.
That's right. A first time for everything.
Everything was the first time.
That's right. Glad we got that out of the way.
Why? Good stuff. Good stuff.
59. Actually,
Minority caveman rooked again.
James Travers was willing to animate a couple of the other two Ugly Caveman stories. So we'll see. I'll have to finish fixing this up and send it along to him and see if he wants to continue along that vein at some point.
That would be good.
Make some nice little fillers there.
Fun stuff. Anyway. Bring on more UGG. We love UGG.
UGG. We have lots of radio left, don't we?
We does. And let us head on down the one of our favorite hallways here in the House of Eeriness. And, of course, I'm talking about the Hall of Fantasy.
Ah, yes. Good old Hall of Fantasy out of WGN Chicago, out of the Mutual Network, created by Richard Thorne and Carl Grayson, who also directed and wrote and produced the series. Ran from August 22nd, 1952 to September 28th, 1953. So it's interesting because, again, these were all... This is the only series I know that had such a variety in it. It's all about the supernatural. It was almost, except that there wasn't a central character, it was almost kind of like a Kolchak, where every episode really was about some kind of supernatural phenomenon or something like that. And but there was a particular person that carried this. The only thing is the guy in Echo that's prancing down that hallway is the only regular person we hear here.
And do we have an original broadcast date for this gem?
Of course we do. As soon as I find it, it is of August 17th, 1953.
Onward, down the hall.
The Hall of Fantasy.
On the door and yelling, "Let me in." But Rose's daughter tried to let him in, but the old man wouldn't let her. So Jeff stayed there in the freezing cold, and the girl heard him say,
"I'll make you pay for this, Monroe. For as long as Monroe lives, I'll make you pay."
And that's the end of the story?
No, not by a long shot, young fella. Ever since that time, people have died who stayed in that cabin. People up here say they've heard him pound on the door and yell, "Now let me in." And when they do let him in, they die. Real strange, like they die.
Jim Loring was my best friend. His sister Betty more than my friend, for we were set to be married the following November. We'd all been working pretty hard, and we figured we needed a rest, so we took a 2 weeks vacation and headed up north. Before we left the city, Jim rented a cabin from a real estate broker about 400 miles north of here. We left about 3 in the morning and drove steadily.
Hey, what time is it?
11:30.
Oh, we've made good time.
Yeah, that's right. According to the last marker we saw, we ought to be pulling into Woodlake in a few minutes.
How far is the cabin from town, Jim?
Well, getting the real estate man said it was about 6 miles out of town.
You're, sure he said there were fish in that lake?
Some of the best fishing in the state. That's what he said.
That's what they all say.
We'll have to stop in town and pick up plenty of food.
That's right. Enough to hold us for a few days anyway.
Oh, look, up ahead. I think we're coming to it.
Oh, we are. It says, you see, Woodlake, population 709.
Hey, big town.
You better slow down. You know these small towns.
Yeah. The broker in the city said I could get the key to the cabin from the sheriff. It seems he also owns a store here, Sheldon's General Store.
Well, if that's the case, we might as well pick up our food there.
Yeah, might as well.
Hey, look, there it is.
Huh? Oh, yeah, I see it.
Oh, open that door in a hurry. I just hope my muscles haven't frozen in this position.
Oh, that feels great.
Oh, boy.
Beautiful day, isn't it?
Weather report said we're in for a storm tonight, though.
Oh? Well, maybe it'll blow over by tomorrow.
Oh, it's nice and cool in here.
Yeah. Anything would be cool after driving in that hot sun.
Oh, it doesn't seem to be. Oh, yes, there is, leaning back in that chair with a paper over his face. Look.
He's sound asleep.
Pretty alert fellow, isn't he?
Yeah. I heard that, young fella.
I was only joking.
Don't you worry none, son. I can take a joke as well as the next one. You'd be wanting something, maybe? Yes, we rented a cabin up here, and we need some food. And you come to the right place. Yes, sir. Now, what can I do you for? You'd better take charge here, Betty.
All right. Well, let's see. We'll need some eggs. About 2 dozen.
Coming right up. Yeah. You come in fresh this morning? Where are you staying?
Oh, the old Monroe place. A real estate man in the city said we could pick up the key from you.
Yep, I got the key, all right. Yeah, what else, ma'am?
Well, let's see. Some bacon, a pound of coffee, pancake flour.
Pancake flour.
Potatoes, oranges, some cream, sandwiches.
Wait a minute. Hold on, ma'am. I got what you said, but don't say no more, because if you do, I'll forget everything. So, you're staying at the old Monroe place, huh?
That's right.
Let's see now. Coffee, flour. You got a 5-pound sack of potatoes here.
Oh, that'll be fine.
Go over there and help yourself some oranges, ma'am, and anything else you see. Just pick it up and set it on the counter here.
All right. I guess that will be the easiest way.
Yeah. So, you're staying at the old Monroe place, huh?
You said that once before.
Yeah, I know I did. I know I did. I just wanted to be sure I was hearing right.
Well, your hearing's all right, Sheriff.
By the way, may we have the key? Sure enough. It's right here under the counter. No. Yeah, long time since that cabin's been rented.
Oh, how come?
People just don't like to go up there.
Oh, why not? Anything wrong with them?
Not exactly. Still the best cabin around these parts. Got a nice refrigerator. Indoor plumbing. Real nice place. But you oughtn't to go up there.
Why?
Because of old Jeff Stone. People around here say they've seen him up there.
Oh, he won't bother us.
Don't you count on that, young fella.
Look, if he comes around the cabin, we'll ask him to leave.
Only leaving, that'll be done. It'll be done by you.
Why? Is he dangerous?
Yeah, he's dangerous. And he's dead, too.
What do you mean?
Just what I said.
Well, you can't expect us to believe...
I don't expect you to believe nothing. I'm just telling you what I know for a fact.
The real estate man didn't say anything about...
He's only interested in renting it. Now, you listen to what I got to say.
Well, I don't think...
Let him talk to you.
Thank you. I'll tell you about what happened up there. About 15 years ago, it was. Old man Monroe hated Jeff Stone. Used to make life miserable for Jeff. And Jeff used to come in here and say that he was going to get even someday. And the hatred inside him would come out on the surface. It even made me afraid. It was the winter time when it happened. Old man Monroe was in his cabin, and there was a big storm outside. One of the worst we ever had up here. His daughter was with him. She was the one who told me what happened. Jeff got himself caught outside in that storm. He knew the only place he could reach was old man Monroe's cabin. So he fought his way through the blizzard, and he got to the cabin half froze. Pounded on the door.
Let me in.
Old Monroe knew it was Jeff outside. He wouldn't open that door. He let him stay out there in the freezing cold, pounding on the door and yelling, let me in. Well, Monroe's daughter tried to let him in, but the old man wouldn't let her. So Jeff stayed out there, froze to death. But just before he stopped yelling, the girl heard him say,
I'll make you pay for this, Monroe. For as long as Monroe lives,
in the morning when the storm was over, they went outside and found him frozen to death.
And that's the end of the story?
Yeah, not by a long shot, young fella. Ever since that time, people have died who stayed in that cabin. First Monroe's daughter, then him, and then others. Anybody who went up there. People up here say they've heard him pounding on the door and yelling, let me in. And when the folks in the cabin let him in, they die. Real strange, like. They die.
The sheriff leaned across the counter as he spoke to us.
Even though the day was warm, I could feel a chill creep over me as he told us the story of one man's revenge. So I wouldn't go up there if I was you.
Certainly a frightening story.
Yep, sure is. Is there any other cabin around here for rent?
Yeah, it's been a busy season up here. Most of the places got people living in them. I ain't got a place, though, I could let you have. Not too bad a place, but you have it mighty cheap.
Maybe we ought to...
Nonsense. No, we'll go up to the cabin.
Well, it's all right with me.
I think that about does it, Sheriff Sheldon.
All right, let me see now. 95 for coffee, 57 for bacon.
Are you sure we have everything we need?
Well, as long as you two manage to catch a few fish we have. If you don't, then we'll be making quite a few trips in town.
Wait till we get out in the boat.
I'll wait until I get the fish into the pan.
Yeah, it comes to $11.92. You can check my figures if you want.
Oh, no, we trust you, Sheriff, here.
Yep, out of 12. Yes, we. Always good to have a little business on the side, like this here store. Here's your change.
Thank you, sir.
Look, you're sure you don't want to go to my cabin, huh?
Well, we're sure.
Well, I warned you, you're walking in with your eyes open. I hope you walk out that way. That is a lie. From everybody.
Oh, it's a good thing we have a map or we'd be lost.
Hey, look, I can see it.
Huh? Yeah, hey, so do I. Hey, it looks pretty nice.
Oh, and there's the lake. Oh, it's beautiful.
Hey, can I pick him or can I pick him?
Oh, the lake is so hard to get to that I bet it hasn't been fished much.
I can hardly wait to get out there.
They ought to be hitting pretty well this afternoon, huh?
We'll get the boat off the trailer and whip that lake to a froth.
Jim? I heard that story that the sheriff was telling me. You don't think there was any truth to it, do you?
Of course not. You notice when he finished, he said he had a place that we could rent?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, I did. He just wanted to talk us out of coming up here. Always good to have a little business on the side, he said. I wonder how many people he's talked out of coming up here with that crazy story of his.
Yeah.
Quite a few, I suppose. But it did frighten me.
We found the cabin to be in excellent condition. We moved our things in, had a bite to eat, then Jim and I unloaded the boat and went fishing, while Betty took a sunbath on the beach in front of the cabin. The big ones weren't hitting, but the panfish were. And when we came in, we had a stringer full of bluegills, crappies, and perch. Betty fixed dinner, and we had all the fish we could eat. The rest of the evening, we took it easy, listening to the radio we'd brought with us or reading. The weather report was right that day, and a little after 9 o'clock, it began to rain.
Hey, we're right about the rain.
Yeah, sounds like it'll be a good one.
I hope we don't have rain the whole time we're up here. That would be just our luck.
Hey, who turned off the radio?
I did. Nobody seemed to be listening to us.
Well, put it on, will you? I want to catch the rest of the news before I turn in.
If we're going to get up early tomorrow, we'd better think about turning in.
Yeah, we'll hear the news and then call it a day.
Okay.
And that's the news of the world and the national scene. As for the local news, ladies and gentlemen, a bulletin has just been handed to me. Lawrence Graham, an inmate of the state institution for the criminally insane, escaped from the grounds a little more than 2 hours ago. So far, he has not been apprehended. His description following: 6 feet tall, gray hair and brown eyes, last seen wearing gray shirt and pants. This man is dangerous. If you see him, on no account try to apprehend him, but get in touch with the local police of your area immediately. I repeat, this man is dangerous. Be very careful.
Turn it off, Betty.
The state hospital is for the criminally insane. That's pretty close to us.
I think it's about 5 or 6 miles away.
Oh, they'll catch him. Don't worry about it. He won't get away.
I hope so.
Well, I think I'm going to turn in.
Listen.
What's the matter?
I heard something.
So did I. A crash of thunder.
No, something else. I thought I heard a voice.
Oh, nonsense.
Maybe you're right. Maybe... There it is again.
I heard it, too.
Yeah, so did I.
We'd better take a look outside.
Yeah, all right.
No, don't go outside.
We'll just stand in the doorway and see if there's anything out there.
Do you see anything?
No. Nothing.
Then come back inside.
Yeah, all right. Maybe it was someone lost in the storm.
Well, maybe it was the man who escaped. Or Jeff Stone.
is something out there. We'd better go see what it is.
All right, I'll...
Let them in!
Outside the door.
Let them in!
Come on, let's see who it is.
Okay.
Let me in.
Oh, I'm glad I found you here.
What's the matter with him?
I found him lying on the ground about half a mile from here. I've been carrying him ever since.
Here, let me help you.
Put him down over here.
All right.
Does it?
What's wrong with him?
I don't know. He doesn't seem to...
What's the matter with him?
He's dead.
You are listening to the tale of Stone's Revenge on this week's journey down the corridors of the Hall of Fantasy. We'll return to our story in just a moment.
And we'll be here to give it to you in just a little bit.
Yes, again, a story, a good ghost story. Let me in. Let me in. Dale, I yell that all the time. Now I know why Dale never lets me in Erie House, because I yell, let me in outside the Erie House. And now I understand why he doesn't let me in, because, because when somebody does that, they're at the story, they die.
No, I'm just a mean bastard.
Oh, okay.
Ask anybody I've worked with in the past. Oh, my goodness. We've got...
you can't tell it by me except when you leave me out in the storm. So, yes. Other than that.
Yes. Yeah, it's just pouring suspense tonight and thrills. It's a good story, man.
It's hard to miss. I don't think I've had one of these... stories of Hall of Fantasy that hasn't intrigued me in one way or other. Because all this, of course, as you know, I'm personally am intrigued by ghost stories, real or unreal, as long as it's a good story. And these are all good stories.
That they are. And just an odd show. I mean, I don't mean to say odd so much as... not good or anything like that, but it's just not one of the widely known shows.
Yeah.
Like Suspense,
yes,
Lights Out.
Yeah, and again, you're right. This really was not the golden age of radio. We're into early 1950s now, and yes, there's still radio being made. There's still great drama. There's still suspense going on. There's still Gunsmoke, which. If you listen to Gunsmoke on radio, there's no way the television ever compares to what they did on radio with their voices. It's just William Conrad gave a depth to, I respect the heck out of James Arness, did it for 20 years on television, but
yeah.
He never reached the depth of Matt Dillon. Because Matt Dillon was a real son of a gun. He was a bad guy. I think he was basically a gunslinger turned lawman. And he wasn't afraid to buffalo somebody in the head with butt of his a gun unprovoked just to keep him from doing something bad in Dodge City. That's the type he was. Now, James Arness was not that kind. It was a far less violent story, especially once they turned to color on television. The television people really got after him. The censors got after them for the violence. And the violence on television was never anything near what it was on radio. Absolutely. But to prove the point, and you had that going on. You had Johnny Dollar going on. You still had Stan Freberg's The Last of the Big Time variety shows on radio yet to come. And there were other shows that were coming and going. Bill Harris Now's Faye was still going strong. Jack Benny was still going strong at this time. But people were venturing over to television, and that's where it would end up. And radio would be just left with pockets of drama and comedy through the rest of its existence.
Yeah. Up until that fateful day in 1962 when the Golden Age came to a close.
Officially ended with the night of Johnny Dollar and Suspense, and that was it. Yep.
Yep. But we're going to do what we can to keep it alive, and we'll wrap up the Saints. We should have a little time for a little extra fun at the end, too. Don't forget our number. Keep that handy. You might want to use it. 646-378-0264. Feel free. We love hearing from you. Here is the conclusion of Hall of Fantasy Stone's Revenge.
And now we continue with Hall of Fantasy on 104 Chum FM.
The storm was getting worse. Outside, thunder roared and the rain fell in torrents. Inside, we turned to look at each other, for a dead man was lying on the couch.
When you found it?
No. Then he must have died while you were carrying him.
Yes. Storm's pretty bad. You'd better stay here until it blows itself out.
Thanks.
Gordon.
Yes?
Come over here a minute.
All right. What do you want?
Don't talk so loud. Can you see his clothes?
Through the trees. Come on, let's go.
All right.
Slippery.
Yeah. Watch your step.
Betty! Jim, we're coming!
I can't hear you, not with this storm and all.
Oh, I thought if he heard me,
you forget it. Just watch. Are you all right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Here, I'll help you up.
Here.
There you are. All right, let's go.
All right.
We're almost there.
Yeah. I hope they're all right.
We'll go in quietly, huh? Just open the door and walk in.
Right.
The storm ought to cover any sounds we make.
Right.
You just let me handle this.
All right.
Here we go. It's locked.
We'll have to break it down
together, then.
All right.
Here we go.
Well, that was Betty.
We got to get that door down.
Right.
That's it. That's it.
Betty, Betty, what's wrong?
No,
of course. I brought the sheriff with me.
Where's the man that was here?
Oh, he's gone.
I thought it was you returning when you crashed against the door. That's why I screamed it. I was afraid.
Well, I want to be sure that... Yep, it's Tom Monroe, all right.
You know this man?
Yeah, he's the grandson of old man Monroe, who murdered Jeff Stone by letting him freeze to death outside. Jeff Stone's revenge is over now.
But if he'd killed other people that came here, then why didn't he hurt us?
Revenge is a strange thing, ma'am. In Jeff Stone's case, I think it was strong enough to bring him back from the grave to try to even the score. So he killed old man Monroe over again every time someone died here. When he killed young Tom here, then his feeling for revenge left him.
Why?
Tom was the last of the Monroes, Mr. Blake. Jeff Stone's revenge is complete now. Yes, sir, it's complete now. And he can rest quiet in his grave.
And events portrayed in these programs are fictional, and any similarity to actual events or persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
This is 104 Chum.
That's a little disappointing. Thought it was a real story.
Well, it probably was, but they have to say that in order to protect themselves from lawsuits, you see. That's how that works.
Ah.
Like they say the Avenger, anything.
Show starts in 3 minutes.
Just like in The Avenger, at the end when they say any similarities between this, any real person or fictional characters is strictly in your crazy mind, you know, that's to keep you from thinking it really wasn't a cheap knockoff of The Shadow.
Ah, clever, very clever.
Yep. And you can't sue them because they said it wasn't. So, you know,
I always thought it was odd that it was odd that comic books had disclaimers. Were they afraid of being sued by the real Spider-Man or what? I don't know.
It could be. It could be you finally found it out. You know, and since you've learned that, perhaps we can learn something from this story, Dale.
Proudly resents another garrulous moral of the story.
Apologies, Degar. When next on a dark and stormy night, and you hear somebody knocking on your door yelling, "Let me in! Let me in!" simply reply, "Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin," and go to bed. That's it. Now, excuse me, I have to wash my hands.
Oh, please do. Well, we have to wash our hands more than usual anyway, so.
Yes, we do.
Maybe that's where we got to in this world. When you, before the COVID, you had to have signs in the restroom that said, "Employees, please wash your stankin' hands before you go back to work."
Yeah, yeah.
When you have to actually put that sign up. When you have to put a
Yeah, they did that so that we would feel comfort knowing that employees know they must wash their hands, but it always scared the heck out of me.
When you have a bottle that clearly says poison on it, and then you have to put a warning label too, it tells us where society is headed. Not a good place. So that's why we retreat to Erie House Radio as often as possible.
Where it isn't safe for anything.
No, you're not safe at all. You're not even safe from us, but you can call and take your chances. 646-378-0264 if you like. Maybe you'd like to spin the wheel of radio or chuck a dime into the jukebox, the regular musical jukebox. We've got some loaded up in the player.
And as we're waiting for someone to maybe call in, Dale, what's going to happen on Erie House next week? Can you remember?
No, I can't. I knew, but I don't know. My head hurts. maybe if
we'll
I drink the milk of amnesia, I'll remember.
Ah, yes. Milk of amnesia.
Yes.
Won't she get mad?
Whoa. Whoa. No, it's all about amnesia if we remember to show up. We have a show from Quiet, Please, and a twin spin, if you will, from Suspense. And get this, talk about big stars, Cary Grant coming back, but also Boris Karloff in back-to-back episodes of Suspense.
Yep.
Then on Saturday.
Yep.
And then Saturday, another CBS Radio Mystery Theater. All about amnesia, if I recall.
I don't know. I forgot.
I don't know.
Yes. Oh, my. Yep. Lots of fun tonight. Wow, two shows. We still have 8 minutes to go. And I guess no one's brave enough to call in tonight. So, which shall it be? Shall it be a tune or a spin of the wheel, Dale?
I think I have a bit of my stimulus money left. What say we play a little music?
No, wait a minute. I never even got my stimulus yet.
You haven't been stimulated?
Not by the federal government. Nope.
Yeah. Well, that hasn't done that for me for a long, long time, any kind of stimulation from the government. Long time. But I digress. Let me chuck this shiny little dime into the jukebox and see what we come up with.
Now, your next mail called Paragraph Men is a novelty I know you're going to get a kick out of. With their own special arrangement of Surrey with a fringe on top, here are the four Williams brothers.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high-stepping strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop.
The wheels are yeller,
the upholstery's brown,
the dashboard's genuine leather.
With isinglass curtains you can roll right down
in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking, ain't no finer rig I'm a-thinking.
You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap
for that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top. All the world will fly in a flurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Then we hit that road, help a leather. Cats and dogs will dance in the heather. Faster, faster, hurry the Surrey with the fringe.
cows will moo in the clover. The river will ripple out a whispered song and whisper it over and over. I can see the stars getting blurry when we drive back home in the Surrey. Driving slowly home in the Surrey with a fringe on top. I can feel a day getting older, feel a sleepy head on my shoulder, nodding, drooping close to my shoulder till it falls. Kerplop. The sun is swimming on the rim of a hill.
The moon is taking a header.
And just as I'm thinking, all the world is still.
A lark will wake up in the meadow.
Hush, you bird, my baby's asleepin'. Maybe got a dream worth a keeping.
Oh, you team.
And just keep a creeping at a slow clip clop. Don't you hurry with the Surrey with the fringe on the top. Little sweetheart in the Surrey, don't you worry. Now we'll say goodnight.
Newspapers are just as good an advertising medium as radio.
Sure, driving home at night, you can enjoy your newspaper as it lies there on the seat. And there's another good thing about newspapers. You can read them while you're rushing to get ready for work in the morning, right?
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
A whole lot of people.
A whole lot of people. 150 million. Hey, a quick bit on the Williams brothers. They were Bob, Dan, Dick, and Andy Williams. They formed a singing quartet in the mid-1930s in Wall Lake, Iowa. Their father, Jay Williams, managed the group and promoted them and entertained on radio stations, first WHO in Des Moines, Iowa, later WLS Chicago, and WLW Cincinnati, before moving to Los Angeles in 43, where they became contract on the MGM studio, where they appeared in Janie, Kansas City Kitty, and Ladies Man, and Something in the Wind. They also appeared in with Bing Crosby on the hit record Swinging on a Star, and did Nightclub. They broke up in 1951. Of course, Andy Williams went on to tremendous fame with his show, but they, even though they broke up in 51, they would appear every Christmas from 1962 through the 1990s in Andy Williams Christmas specials. There you go.
Yes, that's the same same Andy Williams, CW. Moon River.
That's right. And I think my favorite of his was Can't Get Used to Losing You. Just such a different show.
Yeah.
A song for him.
Yes. That was one of my faves. Very popular from the 60s and... was quite a bouncy song about a sad topic, kind of.
It was. Yes, it was. But with that...
We'll see you next time tomorrow at 6:30, guys.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
next week, eh,
when
buddy?
Next we meet in Frankenstone.
On Friday yet?
Don't come alone.
Okay. Almost forgot yeah, where I
was. Fun. That was yeah, fun.
Oh, I thought, no, we're not missing Vince twice in a week. Not especially since we had him on the sink.
Sorry.
We can't.
Sorry,
rip
I took
him
a little
off.
Far with the Williams. Sorry, I took a little far with the Williams brothers, but I tried to
no,
shorten.
No. That was very, very interesting yeah. stuff. I did not.
And I had
know.
No idea until you punched in that number what you had coming up there. So I said, hey, let's look. Let's actually give a couple of facts on them. Yep.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was totally random.
Well, as I said, you punched it up in the machine. That makes it random. That's right.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. from. Oh,
yep.
The nice listens we've been getting in lately. Oh, my goodness. Just putting the numbers through the roof. 53,600 coming up. Only 90% of our listeners are from the U.S., Dave. 2.6 from Canada. Our folks, our friends
well,
up north.
I think they're just being polite.
Yes. 2.2% from the United Kingdom. That's
Ooh.
Right, our friends in England and Ireland and Scotland. And 0.85% from Mexico. And 0.65% from Germany.
There you go. Cool.
Thank
we're expanding
listening.
Faster than my waistline, which is hard to say.
Yeah. Yep. A couple people added us here. I'm looking on the list. Nice. Very nice. Thank you, folks. Thank you very, very, very much. It really pleases us to share these radio shows with you. It really, really does.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave, you've been into these forever. This is a... I mean, now, I guess I can't say it's a new endeavor, but it,
no.
with all these shows, it is kind of new. The endeavor itself isn't so new, but
you know.
And
you're familiar with one to two of the shows even sometimes now, so that makes it cool, you know. But you're I think you've delved into it a lot more since we've started doing this as well, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, before it was like, okay, I got satellite in the car. This is cool. I can listen to a nice show. But when you thought, hey, this would be a good venue, you know.
It certainly is the way you present it. It is, my friend. It's just...
Well, I can't do this myself, that's for sure.
That's why I say, you know, Erie House Radio is a little bit of fact, a little bit of fun. And a whole lot of old time radio.
Oh, I'd say it's a whole lot of fun.
That's it. Yeah, especially when we get our friends Ugg the Caveman involved.
Where would we be without Ugg?
We'd be ugless, man. I'm already ugly. I don't want to be ugless.
Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it. I've heard you're so good looking, they're multiplying you out there.
actually, I did actually film my last segment for the upcoming COVID-19 special from the Weirdness Really Bad movie. But as I was talking to James Travers, you know, the animator for Spaceship One, he had a really great idea at one point. I turn off all the lights and I'm just, you hear me talking to myself and myself. And he said, you know, what would be funny if in like the old cartoons, everything's dark, but all you see are these cartoon eyes. He's going to put cartoon eyes in the very end of that last segment as it's completely pitch black and I'm running into things and myself and everything else. I actually just got that finished my part of editing with the sound effects and everything but the music and sent that off to him just this afternoon. And so probably by Wednesday or Thursday, hopefully, it'd be cool that I get that back. I'm going to start putting it together because actually this is one of the last things that'll be made for the show. So.
Hey, yeah, isn't Gar on now? We didn't announce anything. I think you're going to be on the Vortex Monday now.
Actually, I was on last Monday. Didn't even know it until the last minute. And so I was there, and it was really kind of neat that they announced that Murder by Television was going to be on, and they showed Trapped by Television, which is okay because my co-host cohort, that one was Shannon Steele. I tell you what, I don't think I really got the Dale. You know, when you do these, you don't really have a lot of time. You see it in bits and pieces. You don't really have time to sit down and go through it. Well, when I'm sitting there on the Vortex, I actually get a time to sit down and really see how the show all fit together. And I tell you what, Shannon Steele was absolutely fabulous in that. Far better than I thought. I thought her best performance was in the Assignment Outer Space, which she was great in that. This may be comparable to that. She was great in the Assignment Outer Space, but she was really spot on in this one as well. So
that is awesome. And folks, if you're listening and you haven't seen Dave's show, you got to check these out either on the Vortex at horrorhost.net or God, Dave's telling there's so many places they can see it.
Yeah, there are a lot of places. Bat TV and there's the PTV in Youngstown, and there's the MCTV in Maslin and Worcester, and basically everything in between. It has cable. And I'm trying to think what else. Wadsworth and Hudson. So we're in a couple different places. Plus, I was thinking because this is kind of a stay at home COVID-19 issue, that once I get this thing done, I'll probably share it on a Facebook as well. You know, but
cool.
So it'll be a little bit different.
That's of course Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One.
Right. There's still more episodes of Spaceship One coming out. We've got two more that we had filmed that James is working on, and we'll be getting those two done. We need at least one more for our other season. I'd like to see two more done, but I just don't know that we're going to have get the opportunity with all the restrictions with COVID-19 going on out here. So.
Well, it will get done at some point, and we're looking forward to it. As I'm checking out, we have listeners in Vietnam, Thailand, Cambodia, India, Pakistan, Oman, Yemen, South Africa, Nigeria, Algeria, Iraq, Turkey, Bulgaria, Hungary, Slovakia, the Czech Republic, Germany. Germany's one of our bigger ones. Belgium, France, Spain, but not the Congo. Chile, Brazil.
You know, there's one problem with that list, Dale. Half of those use it as a third degree at police stations.
Yes.
You know.
good. The Netherlands and Denmark haven't forgotten us, as well as Sweden and Finland.
Ah.
Norway hasn't gotten into the swing of it, though.
Yeah,
nor Greenland. I find that very disheartening that we have no listeners in Greenland. No measurable.
No measurable.
And they didn't even put Antarctica on the map. Just think, all the people stationed down there, they're about in the safest place they can be, unless they have an outbreak.
They only have outbreaks of penguins down there, man.
Yeah, I know. Maybe an albatross here and there.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the animal kingdom has more sense than to go down where it's that cold.
Yes. Yeah, the only thing to outnumber the scientific strange people down there are the penguins, so you got to be careful with that.
I know. the rest of the animal kingdom's like, yeah, they're scientists. Look where they go. Antarctica.
They get all that education to go freeze their buns off. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Fun stuff. Is Gar running tonight?
Gar, as far as I know, Gar is running. That's why I thought, hey, you know, we ought to bring in Jimmy, the big Jimmy Durante. You know what? Hey, actually, I can, why don't I go over here and see if Gar is going to be with us tonight. Let me just take a quick peek at the, oh, come on. Where are you at? Here you are. Blog Talk. Gar the Ghoul, and it's loading. Let's see what happens here. Well, it must be something there, otherwise it wouldn't load, right? He's going to be on tonight. It could be that they're, I'm not getting a picture. Oh, yep, there he is. He is there.
Maybe. Hell is glory.
And so perhaps at this point we can bring in the one and only Schnozola to wish us a good night, and we will see everybody next
night.
Good night.
What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Wherever.